young Palestinian man succumbs to wounds he sustained in an Israeli attack in the occupied city of Jenin. Arab League urges Israel to stop its ultra-nationalists from entering a sacred Muslim site of the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied Al-Quds. And a blow to British Prime Minister's authority, lawmakers order an investigation into Boris Johnson's so-called Partygate scandal. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to World News. Our top story, a young Palestinian man who was shot by Israeli forces last week in the occupied West Bank has succumbed to his injuries. The Palestinian Health Ministry says 20-year-old Lutfi Ibrahim Labadi was hit by live fire during an Israeli raid in the city of Jenin. The city, particularly its refugee camp, is known as a stronghold for an emerging armed resistance. Now, since earlier this month, Israeli forces have been attacking the camp, as well as other cities in the occupied West Bank. Al-Quds, to be specific, raids have left dozens of Palestinians dead or wounded. In the latest escalation, Israeli forces raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound on Thursday morning, injuring more than 30 worshippers. Earlier, we are joined by our Ramallah correspondent, Mona Candil, for an update.
Well, we have to mention that it's for the fifth consecutive day Israeli settlers are raiding the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex with the protection of Israeli police officers. Immediately following the morning Fajr prayers, after Palestinians pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Israeli forces storm and raid the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. They force the Palestinian worshippers out of the complex in order to bring Israeli settlers and allow them to desecrate the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, like what happened today. According to the officials, Palestinian officials in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, today alone over 700 Jewish settlers have raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, of course, protected by the Israeli forces.
Now, the Arab League has broken its silence on the recent Israeli violations at the Al-Aqsa. The League says Israel must stop restricting Muslims from worshipping there while allowing ultra-nationalist Jews to enter the sacred site. Organization says Israel has broken the status quo and is now allowing Jews to pray at the compound under police protection. In a statement, the League called on Israel to stop such practice. It also warned a flagrant affront to Muslim feelings, risks a cycle of violence, and threatens stability in the region and the world. The statement comes following an emergency meeting of the League in which member states discuss illegal Israeli policies in Al-Quds. Now, in the run-up to International Quds Day, a UK-based rights group is calling on supporters of Palestinians to lift the voices and support in solidarity. The 2022 edition of Fly the Flag for Palestine campaign is an opportunity to remind Palestinians living under occupation and the diaspora that they're not alone. Amina Taylor reports.
Violence, oppression, and desecration of holy sites. Just more of the Ramadan reminders that Palestinians continue to live under occupation and suffer daily injustices. More than ever, international solidarity, especially in an age of social media, is important. With the atrocities being committed against Palestinians, raising awareness and exhibiting support is more crucial than before. This year's Fly the Flag for Palestine campaign is giving millions across the world the opportunity to show solidarity by displaying a Palestinian flag in person or online.
If we are not able to stand up at this hour of need and be supportive to those Palestinians by holding a flag on our car, on our shops, on our homes, then what are we good for? And when are we going to do this? And I think really what I have seen ordinary people responding so fantastically.
In the lead up to the annual Al-Quds rally in the British capital, the global support for the campaign is in full swing.
Organizers are encouraging participation in this year's event, and taking part could not be more simple. First of all, please post your image or your footage online, encourage a few friends to do the same, and of course, use the hashtag.
As the global solidarity movement grows, so does the opposition, a fact not lost on pro-Palestine campaigners.
We got ministers coming and saying, you know, they're going to refer us to the police for saying from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. It's outrageous. These are the same people that actually articulate that freedom of speech is absolute. And, you know, they go on and on. What's wrong with any part of the world to be free? What's wrong with asking people to be free?
So organizers are urging you to do your part. Lift your voice in solidarity and fly the flag for Palestine. Amina Taylor, London.
Britain's parliament has passed a motion which authorizes a probe into potential lies told by Prime Minister in the case of COVID lockdown breaches.
The question is, as on the order papers, many of that opinion say aye.
Aye.
On the contrary, no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Boris Johnson will now be the subject of a probe by Parliament's Privileges Committee, which will begin work after London police are through with their inquiries. The committee has the authority to sanction or suspend the Prime Minister if he's found guilty of misleading Parliament. Earlier, Tory MPs scrambled to find a way to block or delay the inquiry with an amendment, but in an unexpected reversal, they pulled the amendment off the table. The British police have already fined Johnson for breaking pandemic rules by holding illegal gatherings at his office and residence, and the opposition is still calling for his resignation over the so-called Partygate scandal. Germany has reached an agreement with its Eastern European partners to supply Ukraine with a new batch of heavy weapons. Defense Minister Christine Lambrecht says under the deal, Germany will replenish the stockpiles of tanks and armored vehicles held by NATO and G7 states. Lambrecht said government will also train Ukrainian soldiers to use tanks and other military hardware for combat. Meantime, Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock says Berlin no longer has inhibitions over sending weaponry to Ukraine.
I have underlined yesterday that there are no taboos for us with regard to armed vehicles and other weaponry which they are needing. That's why we are supporting other partners in a circle of exchange, Ringtausche in German, to see that those partners who are delivering right now out of their stocks, that we will fill the gaps because they can deliver Soviet materials.
Foreign Minister said the German Army stockpile of military hardware is not impressive enough for a quick dispatch of consignments to Ukraine, as the move could undermine Germany's own security. Now, this after allies criticized Berlin for its reluctance to deliver heavy weaponry to Ukraine. Meantime, Moscow has warned Washington and NATO against sending military assistance to Kiev. The Kremlin says such shipments only add fuel to the fire of war in Ukraine, and the fallout will be unpredictable. The World Bank says the cost of physical damage to Ukraine's infrastructure by Russia's military operation has reached roughly $60 billion. World Bank President David Malpass said early estimate does not include the growing economic costs of the war. He made the remarks during a conference on Ukraine's financial assistance needs. Addressing the same conference, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky outlined far bigger costs and financing aid. He said Ukraine needs hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild the country. Zelensky called on countries that have imposed sanctions on Russia and froze its assets to use that money to help rebuild Ukraine after the war. Germany has reportedly displaced hundreds of Afghan refugees to make room for Ukrainians fleeing the conflict back home. A report by U.S. media shows the government in Berlin has told Afghan refugees there is no alternative since Ukrainians needed a roof over their heads. Afghan refugees say social workers came with eviction notices, giving them 24 hours to clear out their homes. The Berlin Refugee Council has expressed concern over the government's biased treatment to refugees in the past few months. Social workers have also voiced frustration over the treatment of Afghans as well as other West Asian and North African refugees in Germany. In 2021, some 12,000 Afghans arrived in Germany after the Taliban's takeover. Huge explosions yet again rock Afghanistan, leaving dozens of casualties in several major cities, including the capital, Kabul. A powerful bomb blast ripped through a Shia mosque in the northern city of Mazar-e-Sharif, killing over 30 people. Bombing, which targeted a congregation of worshippers, also left dozens injured, many of them in critical condition. Now, Daesh terrorist group has claimed responsibility. The targeted mosque is one of the biggest places of worship frequented by the Hazara minority group.
The incident that occurred inside the Sedokan Mosque of Mazar-e-Sharif was really heartbreaking. I was at the market and arrived to the site as fast as I could. Unfortunately, the number of casualties is very high.
The explosion left so many deaths and injuries behind. People have come to donate blood. The Taliban did not cooperate the way they should. The victims of this incident are so many. We urge the Islamic Emirate to pay more attention to the security of the people. How long will such incidents continue?
Iran has condemned the bombing, noting that targeting fasting worshippers in the holy month of Ramadan is an abhorrent act of terror. Meanwhile, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Afghanistan has called for a probe into systematic targeted attacks on crowded mosques and schools. A roadside bomb went off in a Shia neighborhood in western Kabul, injuring two children. The Taliban have condemned the attacks, pledging to bring the perpetrators to justice. Explosions come 2 days after a twin bombing in Kabul left 6 people dead. After 3 weeks of waiting for the reopening of the Sana'a International Airport, Yemeni Civil Aviation Authority has announced the start of the commercial flights to Sana'a Airport starting Sunday. According to the announcement, there will be one flight a week, which is not enough to help the humanitarian situation in the country. Abdul Latif Awashali has your story.
Yemen Civil Aviation and Meteorology Authority announced that the first commercial flight to Sana'a International Airport will start next Sunday from and to Jordan. Observers say the UN brokered agreement said there will be two flights a week from and to Egypt and Jordan, and allowing one flight only is not enough to help the humanitarian situation.
Announcing the start of one flight per week to Jordan is not enough and confirms there are no sincere intentions by the Saudi-led coalition to abide by the declared UN truce. There must be a full opening of Sana'a Airport and the port of Hodeidah because the humanitarian situation cannot tolerate more restrictions.
The Ministry of Health says thousands of patients, including children, are in dire need to travel abroad for treatment. Therefore, the United Nations should fulfill its duty and remove any restrictions on the 2 weekly flights.
Yemeni patients suffer greatly due to the closure of Sana'a's international airport because they need to travel abroad for treatment. There are 30,000 registered patients in the higher medical committee, including children suffering from congenital anomalies and cancer. We demand the United Nations and the UN envoy open Sana'a's airport permanently and not for one or two flights per week, as it's not enough to help the humanitarian situation.
Saudi Arabia and its allies launched a deadly war on Yemen on March 2015 and imposed a closure on Sana'a International Airport. This closure has led to the death of thousands of patients, including children, especially amid the collapse of the healthcare system in the country due to the years-long Saudi war and the blockade. Yemen has received the news of resuming the flights of Sana'a International Airport with hopes to see further flights to other destinations around the world. They say opening Sana'a Airport will save the lives of thousands of Yemeni patients, including children, who are in danger amid the absence of essential healthcare services. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
And now we're going to go back to one of our top stories, where the Arab League has broken its silence now on recent Israeli violations at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. League says Israel must stop restricting Muslims from worshiping there while allowing ultra-nationalist Jews to enter the sacred site. The organization says Israel has broken the status quo and is now allowing Jews to pray at the compound under police protection. In a statement, the League called on Israel to stop such practice, warning that a flagrant affront to Muslims risks a cycle of violence and threatens stability in the region and the world. Joining us now is Charlotte Cates from the Samoudine Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network out of Vancouver, British Columbia, for more on the story. Hello, Charlotte. Your thoughts on usually the Arab League kind of drags its feet when it comes to stuff like this, but they've given this stern warning. Your initial thoughts, please.
The Arab League is, you know, by and large, representative mostly of Arab reactionary regimes that have an ongoing relationship with U.S. imperialism. However, what we're seeing is that the Arab people are responding to the crimes of the Israeli occupation, that throughout the Arab homeland, people stand with Palestine. So they stand against normalization. They stand against all the attempts by reactionary regimes to normalize Zionism throughout the region at the behest of U.S. imperialism, and they stand with the Palestinian people. The sites of Israeli occupation forces bombing Gaza, invading Al-Aqsa Mosque, attacking Jenin, attacking Jerusalem, uprooting Palestinians in Al-Naqab have sparked outrage throughout the Arab region and around the world. And so in many ways, the Arab League feels that it has no choice but to respond to the growing demands of the people of the region to take real action about what's happening in occupied Palestine. But of course, a statement and a warning is not enough. It's time to put an end once and for all to the processes of normalization that aim to undermine the Palestinian struggle and indeed the struggle of the Arab people at the behest of U.S. imperialism.
Thank you, Charlotte. Stay safe. Pleasure to have you on. Charlotte Cates there joining us from Vancouver, Canada. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, indeed we sent it down on the night of ordainment. What will make you understand what the night of ordainment is? The night of ordainment is better than 1,000 months. In it, the angels and the spirit descend by the leave of their Lord with every command. It is peaceful until the rising of the dawn. The night of Qadr or ordainment are in fact a ray of hope in the blessed month of Ramadan. They are the nights whose value and greatness cannot be measured. The bond of servants with their Lord began in the start of Ramadan, but it reaches its climax on these nights. As a matter of fact, the night of Qadr is one night, but according to the infallible successors of the Prophet, it has been hidden among the 19th, 21st, and 23rd nights so that the faithful spend more time to appeal to Allah and spend more time to seek forgiveness from Him. Over 6 centuries after the birth of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, just when the ecclesiastical bigotry had stopped thinking and growth of sciences among the Christian communities, God ordained a new prophet to guide people. The first words that God revealed to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, were the following. Read in the name of your Lord who created man from a clinging mass. Read, and your Lord is the noblest, who taught by the pen, taught man what he did not know. This shows the high position of knowledge, learning, and thinking in Islam. The Noble Quran always calls on Muslims to apply reason and reflect on God's signs everywhere. The Quran clearly tells the people to think over different phenomena and believe through thinking rather than blind following. Ayah 242 of Surah Baqarah reads, "Thus does Allah clarify His signs to you so that you may apply reason." The word aql or intellect and its derivatives have been mentioned 49 times in the Quran. In all these cases, people and Muslims have been invited to think and use their intellect in the signs of God. The Prophet of Islam and his infallible successors, as the true interpreters of the Quran, used to emphasize on reasoning and thinking. They have said that thinking for 1 hour is better than worshipping for 60 or 70 years. The Prophet says, "Every good thing is recognized by intellect, and he who does not have intellect has no religion." Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "God has placed intellect without mean desires in the angels, and has placed mean desires without intellect among animals. But in man, the intellect and mean desires have been combined. So, he whose intellect overcomes his mean desires, he's superior to the angels. And he whose mean desires overcome his intellect, he's inferior to animals." In this part of the program, we will speak about other things that nullify fasting. Injection of any medicine does not nullify fasting except those shots that are nutritious or invigorating. So, the kinds of injections which are done for numbing do not nullify fasting. In addition, injection of hepatitis B does not nullify fasting because it is hypodermic. Distilled water will nullify fasting if it is injected in the vessel, but if it is injected in the muscle, it will not nullify fasting. Blood injection will nullify fasting. However, usage of suppositories does not nullify fasting. But it is better not to have endoscopy in Ramadan, even if it does not carry anything into the stomach. As it was said before, giving enema nullifies fasting. Well, going back to the virtues of Ramadan, let us see what Imam Sadiq says on the fasting of this month. The Imam says, "Haven't you heard what Maryam, daughter of Imran, said? Indeed, I have vowed a fast for the All-Beneficent, so I will not speak to any human today." Maryam held a fast of silence. Thus, When you fast, keep your tongue from lying, close your eyes from indecent sins. Do not quarrel with each other. Do not be jealous of one another. Do not backbite. Do not be angry with each other. Do not swear falsely. Refrain from difference with each other. Do not insult. Do not call one another with evil nicknames. Do not dispute with each other. Do not wrong one another. Do not be unwise. Do not be upset with each other. Do not be negligent of God's remembrance and ritual prayer. Once a man asked Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, to introduce God to him. The sixth Imam said, suppose that you are sailing on a ship and suddenly there is a strong storm. You are caught in the huge waves and you feel that none of the ships around can rescue you. Yet your heart is drawn toward a power which can rescue you. You ask him for help and know that he can rescue you. That reality is the compassionate and merciful God. Food for thought. Salam, friends, and condolences to you all on the fateful 19th of Ramadan, the day on which, while engrossed in the morning prayer in the Grand Mosque of Kufa in Iraq, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, was struck a fatal blow of a poison sword by the renegade Abdurrahman ibn Muljam. And the expression that came to the lips of the mortally injured vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as his fruitful 63-year life was about to end, was, by the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The fasting of the month of Ramadan is an important pillar of
Islam. إنما سمي رمضان لأنه يرمض الذنوب.
Verily, the month of Ramadan has been thus named because it scorches away sins.
What does Maha Ramadan mean to us?
This is Dialogue, a program on the holy month of Ramadan and the importance of fasting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program. This is Dialogue. We're talking about the blessed and holy month of Ramadan. The holy month of Ramadan, as you all know, is the blessed and honorable month when the doors of the Almighty Allah's mercy are open. It is the blessed month when forgiveness is easy to gain, but only if we take our steps in this direction. The holy month of Ramadan, the great month when the doors of hell are closed, a beautiful, a blessed, an honorable month, a month where we return towards the Almighty Allah. The holy month of Ramadan, a month where we gain our provisions for our journey towards the hereafter. The holy month of Ramadan, where we establish a connection with our loving, nurturing Lord, our Creator and Sustainer, Allah, exalted and glorified is He. The holy month of Ramadan, the greatest of months, the most honorable of months. This month in which we can return towards Allah. This month in which we can reconnect with Allah. This month in which we can gain the provisions for the hereafter. This, the holy month of Ramadan.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله في خطبته عند إقبال شهر رمضان: إن الشقي من حرم غفران الله في هذا الشهر العظيم.
Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in his sermon heralding the advent of the month of Ramadan, stated, "Verily the most unfortunate is he who is deprived of Allah's forgiveness in this month."
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's great to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the holy month of Ramadan, and we find that one of the very important things that we need to do, and it can be said that we must do in the holy month of Ramadan, is repentance, istighfar. Dear friends, it's interesting, but we find that there are so many different verses of the Holy Quran which talk about repentance. For example, we find in chapter number 24, which is titled Nur, and verse number 31, it says, "Watubu ilallah," and turn altogether in repentance towards Allah. This idea of seeking repentance and this idea of turning back towards Allah in this holy month of Ramadan in order to change our lives, turn a new leaf over, and really progress on this spiritual journey towards our loving Creator. Istighfar and repentance really plays a major role. And we find in chapter number 2, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 37, that the Almighty Allah says, "Huwa at-tawwab ar-rahim." It is He, Allah, who is all-forgiving and all-merciful. And it is Allah, dear friends, who accepts our repentance. But what is the caveat? What is the requirement? What is the condition? The condition is that we turn towards Allah. We turn towards Allah and we accept that we have made a mistake. We should feel regret and shameful for having disobeyed one who loves us so dearly. Then, in this feeling of regret and remorse and shame, we ask the all-forgiving, the all-merciful Allah for forgiveness, to accept our repentance, and then have hope and belief that if our repentance is sincere, Allah will accept the repentance and the istighfar of every single one of us, especially in this holy and blessed month of Ramadan. This is Dialogue, the holy month of Ramadan.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
What does Maha Ramadan mean to us? Does Maha Ramadan mean to us 6 down, 23 to go? Is that the way we look at Maha Ramadan? Or do we look at Maha Ramadan at something beyond that? Let us view what Maha Ramadan is all about for a few minutes. That way we will get a better time, because we still have time to adjust ourselves accordingly. What does Allah say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumusiyam kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting has been prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed upon those before you. Why? So that you may gain taqwa. This is the whole purpose of fasting, that we may gain taqwa. When our body hurts, we take measures to fix it. by doing exercise, by watching our diet, by taking necessary medication, so on and so forth, change of habits and so on and so forth. Why? So that this body, which will only be around for 70 to 80 years, can have a comfortable life, whatever its span is. But what when our nafs is hurting? What do we do about that? When our identity lies in our nafs, not in this body. This body, after I am dead, and if you are allowed to exhume my body and you come back after 6 months to a year, there will be nothing there. It will be gone. The question of Shaheed is a different story. But just ordinary of us, it will be gone. So it is the nafs where my identity lies. What do we do about it when it hurts? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the spiritual season of Rajab, Shaaban and Maha Ramadan in order that we may fix our nafs, our soul, so that it may become better. Maha Ramadan, fasting in Maha Ramadan is one way in which we can fix our soul.
حبيب التائبين يا شهر الصائمين.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turn barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most. Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbus greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
A batch of autonomous delivery vehicles has been provided to facilitate personnel and volunteers in the streets and communities of Shanghai. The self-driving vehicles distribute supplies to residents in the Chinese megacity, which is now hit hard by the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The vehicles reduce person-to-person contact and largely lower the risk of infection. A community served by the distribution station has more than 30 apartment buildings and nearly 3,000 residents. The weight of each order is more than 5 kilograms, which puts great pressure on the volunteers to deliver. 49 autonomous delivery vehicles have been sent to communities, colleges, and hospitals in Shanghai to support anti-pandemic and supply work. Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western Lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western Lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera. Fidelio at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for four beats or two beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
I feel like the challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurs, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a micro-robotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders. Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The
plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Early in the pandemic, the World Health Organization stated that SARS-CoV-2 was not transmitted through the air. That mistake and the prolonged process of correcting it sowed confusion and raises questions about what will happen in the next pandemic. Please stay with us for an article in this regard written by Diane Lewis, writer. This article is published under the heading Why WHO took 2 years to say COVID is airborne. Here's the story. As 2021 drew to a close, the highly contagious Omicron variant of the pandemic virus was racing around the globe, forcing governments to take drastic actions once again. The Netherlands ordered most businesses to close on December 19th. Ireland set curfews, and many countries imposed travel bans in the hope of taming the tsunami of COVID-19 cases filling hospitals. Amid the wave of desperate news around the year-end holidays, one group of researchers hailed a development that had seemed as though it might never arrive. On December 23rd, the World Health Organization WHO uttered the one word it had previously seemed incapable of applying to the virus SARS-CoV-2, airborne. On its website, a page titled Coronavirus Disease, COVID-19, How Is It Transmitted? Was quietly edited to state that a person can be infected when infectious particles that pass through the air are inhaled at short range, a process otherwise known as short-range aerosol or short-range airborne transmission. The website says that transmission can occur through long-range airborne transmission,